Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good to see you all here. Looks like we just broke up the other day and we're already back here.
Yeah.
That's all right with me, though. Good to be back in the house of God. We have so many people to pray for again. I was supposed to add to this list and I can't remember what it was. Amen, Lord, help me. Hallelujah. But if you'd all stand and seek with me this evening, I'll go down the list. Brother Chuck and Sister Linda Marshall, Brother George Osborne, Shannon and Cheryl Grant, Zena Zephyr, Unchi, Arlene Gullickson, Bonnie Hare, Travis Sixtos, Marsha Tolman, Marsha Thinelk, John Har. Amen. God knows their needs. Brother B. Sixtos. He came back. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord knows the needs, and let's pray right now. Besides all that we have, all our petitions, amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you again for this opportunity, Lord, to be God in this place, Lord, in your house, and to come into your presence, O Lord. And we ask you that you would look down upon us, give us grace in your sight, O Lord, and minister unto us, God. Pour out your spirit upon us, Lord, in this place, O God, and quicken us. Amen. And lift us up, O Lord, that we can be with you, that we can abide with you in your presence. Lord, in those heavenly places, O God. And Lord, as we come together, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you, O God, would, amen, bring us together, Lord, that we can be, Lord, as one body, in one place together, Lord, in one mind, in one accord, in one spirit. Bless your people, O Lord. Amen, O God. And open up, Lord, our ears that we may hear, our eyes that we may see, and our hearts that we can be converted unto you, Lord. Minister unto us, O God, in this place. And Lord, we pray for all the needs that are represented, Lord. Amen. Our homes, our families, every individual that is here, God. And as you instructed us in your word to cast our cares upon you, Lord. And Father, we bring them right now, Lord. Amen, Lord. All our burdens, Lord, all our needs. I pray, Lord, minister unto your people, Lord. Go before them, O God, wherever they may be, O Lord. Our spiritual needs, O God, our physical needs, our financial needs, Lord, I pray. And Lord, especially for those that we have lifted up before you by name, God, you know every person. You know every heart, O God, and we believe, Lord. God, as your word says, that you are able to save to the uttermost, O Lord. So I pray, God, that you would minister, Lord, move for your people, O God. We thank you, Lord. Amen, God, that we have, Lord, the blessing to come to you, Lord, that we are called to come to you, O Lord. So I pray, Lord, minister to your people, God. Bind us together in this place, O God. I pray, bless us, Lord. Bless the ministry of your word. Bless our worship, our praise. And God, I pray that you would bless our sale tomorrow, Lord. Help us. Amen, Lord. As we, O Father, are doing what we can, O Lord, to be a light, Father. I pray that you would bless our sail, Lord. Go before us, God. Give us all safe passage as we travel, Lord, tomorrow. This we ask in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, thou
God. Thank you,
for all supplying our needs, Lord, by your riches and glory, and for all your faithfulness, O God. Bless your people, even as we give, O God, as given unto you, Father.
Yes.
Amen. With a cheerful heart, we thank you, Lord. Amen. For your true love for your church, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wrapped himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless you.
Amen, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
It's good to feel being in His presence as we always do.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. It seems He never lets us down.
Amen.
He's always here.
Thank you.
Always faithful, and He always abides.
Amen. Yes.
Beautiful thing. And I trust we're all, amen, doing what we can to keep ourselves in the faith. Amen. Praise God. It's important. Hallelujah. It's always good to get, you know, any kind of information or anything that would definitely benefit us. You know, we always look on so many levels, always looking for something that would help us. And praise God. I'm glad that we have His Word. His Word helps us to, gives us insight, helps us to understand, amen, about Him and even about ourselves and everything that takes place in our lives, and especially trying to, amen, find His will, find Him. Praise God. Thank God for the victory.
Amen. Amen.
It's good to have,
yes,
the victory.
Amen.
Never ever take your victory for granted.
Amen.
Because if you have victory, you're going to have liberty.
Amen.
You're going to be set free.
Hallelujah.
And if you don't have victory, you're going to be captive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Amen.
You're going to be bound. You're going to be held captive. You won't be free, even though it appears. That's one thing about our adversary. He makes it look just so promising and pleasing that when, you know, he makes it look like we're missing out.
Mm-hmm.
We're not having fun.
Amen.
But under that guise, under that deception, when he can sway you, when he can deceive you through his lies, and he gets you to that place where he wants you, mm-hmm, he has you bound. And it just seems like that feeling just seems to last for a little bit, and then pretty soon you find out you're not up to par. You feel it.
Amen.
Praise God, that's just how He is. I mean, the Bible says about Moses that he chose to follow God and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Yes.
And that's just how it is. It's really being able to comprehend and to understand what it is to have the victory and what it is to be free, to have liberty, to really have that liberty. Praise God. Something. Mm-hmm. And we can understand that, and just to understand everything that He uses, all the tools He uses, and everything He can to try to somehow, amen, prevent us from being just basically happy.
Right.
And being joyful, experiencing peace, just having that rest and that peace, amen, that we are promised through the Holy Ghost. So when He wants to try to interrupt that, and He knows that you're enjoying that, He's going to try to do everything He can to
help
rob you,
mm-hmm,
steal your joy.
Yep.
Praise God. Steal your victory. Thank you, Lord. So I'm glad that we all have the liberty. I'm glad you all were mindful and heartful enough to come to midweek service.
Amen.
If you can come to midweek service, that says a lot about you.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of reasons why people don't want to come to midweek service. Yep. I don't know what it is, but hallelujah. That's really actually the high day.
Yes.
That's the high day. You ever notice that whenever they had their appointed feast and their gatherings, and they always talk about the high day or the high Sabbath? You know when those high Sabbaths took place? It wasn't on the seventh day. It was always in the middle of the week. I never realized that until I started to read about it, and I was thinking, oh man, I didn't know that. Yes, that's happened. The high day or the high Sabbath, those special, those special appointments, praise God, that were ordained by God for his people to come. So it's obvious. There's a reason. It's not just a, how would you say, the way he employed them. It's not just so that, you know, we can be religious about it. But God can, definitely there's a reason why it was structured that way, so that we can enjoy the blessings. So I'm glad of all of you that chose to come to midweek service, because Amen. This is truly the high day.
Yes.
It's good to be in the presence of God always.
Amen.
In this setting, and it just seems like today's Wednesday, so the past 2 days, to me, I don't remember much of Monday and even yesterday. All I can remember was Sunday.
Yeah.
It seems like it took me a while to wind down Sunday evening. When I get in a place where that Holy Ghost and that anointing is on you, and it's just like, for me, when I go home, it's just like I have all that, I'm wound up and all that energy, if I want to say it that way. It's just like, it takes me a while to come down, and I don't like to come down sometimes. I just want to bask in the glory of the Lord. It's just like, so I just kind of, it's just like, I can only imagine myself like a feather, just kind of.
Yeah.
Praise God. So I don't mind getting lifted back up again. Right. Never mind that. I like to be lifted up.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to soar in the heavenly realm, in those spiritual heights. I want to soar. Praise God. I want to enjoy the presence of the Lord. So that's the reason why I'm here. Amen. That's the number one reason. Praise God. So I thank God for that. But we are a people that he has blessed.
Amen.
I want you to settle that in your minds. I want you to think about that. I want you to settle it in your minds. And don't let the devil, don't even let your own carnal mind tell you that you're not blessed, because you are blessed.
Amen.
You are a people that are blessed.
Yes.
Yes.
You can experience the best. Amen. Even when you're going through something. Even when you're experiencing, you know, tribulation or whatever it is. Pressure, affliction, illness. Infirmities, temptation, trials, all that. Even though you're going through all that, you can still be blessed.
Amen.
You can still have the victory. You can still, that's the difference, is we can walk through it,
right,
having that advantage,
right,
rather than walking through it alone and, praise God, being overwhelmed by it, being overcome. Praise God. That's why I thank God for the Holy Ghost, because that's Amen. The reason why Amen. He has given it to us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So don't allow yourselves to fall back into that thinking,
Amen.
Into that mentality, into that attitude. Praise God. Amen. He's given us the victory.
Yes.
Yes.
He's given us the victory. And, of course, we're on the winning side.
Amen. Amen.
It's good to be on the winning side.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Just kind of gives you a certain confidence. And you don't want to be conceited either, but just gives you a certain confidence to be on the winning side.
Amen.
Amen. Knowing that The battle is already won.
Amen.
Right. That's right.
Amen. You already have some foreknowledge. Mm-hmm. The battle is already won.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. Everything we're going through, tell the devil. Everything you're going through, tell the devil. The battle's already won.
Amen.
What are you doing trying to raise some ruckus? Don't you know that?
Right.
You've been defeated.
Amen.
Praise God. So that's the thing about it. It's just being able to put yourself in that frame of mind and understanding what it is that we have received, what we have inherited, who we are in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. I want you to turn with me in the Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms 50. Book of Psalms 50. My objective is to enlighten you with the help of the Spirit of God to enlighten you.
Amen.
So I believe it's the will of God, as Paul said, the will of God is the will of God. Our sanctification is the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Our sanctification is the will of God. To be sanctified is the will of God. Let me add on to that, not just your sanctification, but your consecration.
Mm-hmm.
Your dedication, your life. Your daily living. From the time you wake up in the morning, from the time you lay your head down. I believe it's God's will. Every day of the week. 24 hours a day. I believe it's God's will.
Yes.
That we can experience that. You can experience it. I know we have difficulties. I know we face certain things and you know, confrontation, there's a lot going on, what we talk about, what we wrestle up against, principalities and powers, we know that, we understand that, this world, what's out there in this world, nothing good's out there in this world, let me tell you, let me remind you, all of you, even you young people, there's nothing good out there in this world, so get your eyes off of the world, nothing good out there. Nothing but darkness, nothing but evil, nothing but sin, nothing but abomination, nothing good at all. But we battle with it, we struggle with it, that's our problem. Every one of us, we face that. Every morning we wake up because we're mortal creatures, we're fleshly, we're still in a physical body.
Yeah.
But yet, as I've said so many times before, we have an advantage because we are filled with the Spirit of God. That's our advantage. But how do we do that? How do we combine the Spirit of God and even walking in the flesh? You know, walking in the flesh. I mean, because it's the only way we can live in this world. This is just, and remember, this world is temporal. It's just, it's temporal. It's just a short span of life that we're living before we get to live the life He's promised us.
Mm-hmm.
So we go through things down here, and it's because we're connected to this world, by our carnal nature, by our flesh. All the needs, all the wants, all the desires, all the appetites, all the lust of the flesh. And so we deal with that every day. Every one of us deal with that. Let's be honest with ourselves. You wake up and your flesh wants to try to suggest some things to you, and then... And you know what? If you pay attention long enough, you're going to give into it. A lot of times, most of the time, everybody gives into it.
Yep.
Is everybody still with me?
Amen.
So, but the Lord has obviously made provision. He's made provision. He's helping us to deal with something. Let me tell you something. Something that should be minute.
Mm-hmm.
something that should be, obviously, I read out a scripture last week about his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And the word of God is true. That's just how it is. And that is from the perspective of humbling ourselves to him. So, Psalms 50, verse number 5, it says, gather my saints together unto me. Gather them together unto me. Those that have made a covenant, those that have made an agreement, a covenant with me by sacrifice. You go down to verse number 8. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings. To have been continually before me. Now let me interpret that for you if you're having problems understanding that. And the reason why he said it that way, the reason why it stated that way, is that they should have been offering those daily sacrifices every day. But some did and some didn't. Some neglected to offer. And some did, just because they were instructed, because they believed the word of God, they gave themselves to it. But some did, but when they did it, they didn't do it with the right attitude. Amen. Attitude is important. Yeah. All of us have one.
Yes.
I hope it's a good attitude.
Amen.
Not a bad attitude.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's what he's talking about. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings. To have been continually before me. That's what God's will was for his people. Okay, we'll get to that in a moment here. Just hold on. Then verse number 13. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? I don't think he really had any pleasure in that. The reason why, he said, offer unto God thanksgiving. Offer unto God. Guess what comes along with the sacrifice? Guess what comes along with the sacrifice? Guess what the commandment was? Guess what they were instructed? When you offer up your sacrifices, offer them up with thanksgiving. That's something. Guess what? We all need to be thankful.
Yep.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
Because right now, we're breathing.
Yes.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
And our heart is beating.
Yes. That's right.
It could be a different situation, but it's not. Right now, you are in his good graces.
That's right.
So he said, offer unto God thanksgiving. And then look what he says. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. So guess what comes along with sacrifice?
Thanks.
Vows.
Mm-hmm.
When you tell God something, when you make a promise to God, guess what?
Right.
Amen.
Do not hold your foot back from taking that step.
Right.
And that's one thing that, you know, the Lord was not pleased with when people made their vows, but yet they did not attend to the vows. They offered their sacrifices, but guess what? Why is this important? Because That's the very area without you really realizing it or not. The reason for sacrifices. The reason for sacrifices. That is the area that's going to help you to sustain victory. Victory over sin. Victory over your flesh. That's the area. A lot of people don't want to go there. They're hesitant. Because, guess what? They don't want to offer that sacrifice. So when he was talking about the bowel part, to help you to understand, just to clarify it, the bowel part, let's go into the book of Exodus chapter 24 and look what it says here, Exodus 24. So you can understand the bowel part of it. We'll start with verse number 4 in Exodus 24. And it says, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and building an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings, sacrifices, and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. So there, you know, the psalmist, we read in the book of Psalms where he said, all his saints, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, the literal translation of made a covenant should be cut the covenant. When they come, because they were the ones that brought their sacrifice. They were the ones that were obeyed the word of God and they brought their sacrifice, whatever that sacrifice was. They were the ones that brought it before the Lord. They brought their sacrifice. Let me say it again. They brought their sacrifice. You go into in the book of Numbers 28, just to give you an understanding, and we see the words, the instructions, and even the laws of sacrifice that is kind of given us in a nutshell here in chapters 28 and 29. That's good homework if you want to read that. But look what he says here in Numbers 28, and He's speaking to them. We can do a little reading. We'll start with verse number 1. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And the Lord said, spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifice is made by fire for a sweet savor unto me, shall ye observe to offer unto me in their, look what he says, their due seasons. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year, without spot. Look what he says. Without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. Let me back up a little bit. Verse number 2, he talks about all these sacrifices that were to be made by fire for a sweet savior unto me, shall ye offer, observe to offer unto me in their due season. In their due season. So here's he's talking about the sacrifices that were going to be offered on, what did I say earlier? Special occasions or high days. And these were all connected to even the feast of the Lord, okay? These were all connected to the feast of the Lord. And you go there and you read that there, and just let me kind of break it down to you. You can write this down if you want to. But he talks about the Sabbath offerings in 28 and 9, in the chapter we're reading in verse number 9, he talks about the Sabbath offerings. And then for the beginning of the months, the new moons, the beginning of the months, in 28 and 11, in verse number 11, he talks about those offerings. So you see what had to be offered up. And then for Passover and unleavened bread in verse number 19 of 28. And then Pentecost, amen, 28, 27. You see the sacrifices that were to be offered. And then on Tabernacles was a little bit different. It kind of broke away from the norm of the sacrifices. In Tabernacles 29, in Numbers 29 and 2, you see on the first day, the sacrifices that were supposed to be offered on the Feast of Tabernacles. And then 29:12-34 is the feast that were to be offered on the 15th day to the 21st day. These were special sacrifices. Special sacrifices. So the instructions are given for these special sacrifices. And you see what was commanded as far as the sacrifice that was to be offered. Okay? So all those were added. All those were added along with what we're talking about here in verse number 3, where he said, in verse number 3, where he talks about, and thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year without spot. Look what he says. Day by day, for a continual burnt offering. So besides these special sacrifices that he's talking about here, amen, every day there had to be a continual burnt offering, a sacrifice every day. And so when you look at it in verse number, praise God, where am I? verse number 3 and 4, it says the lamb. Verse number 4, the lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at the evening. So the offering that was supposed to be offered every day, one sacrifice had to be offered in the morning, one sacrifice had to be offered in the evening. Woo! Wow. Talk about a pretty well, how could I say this? Everything was put in motion as far as Israel's being able to access and come before the Lord. You could not come before the Lord unless you offered the sacrifices. You could not have fellowship with Him unless you offered the sacrifices. Woo. Does everybody get that?
Amen.
I want you to understand, because you might say, well, how does this apply to us? Back in the Old Testament, yes, it did have a purpose back in the Old Testament, but it also still has a purpose for you and I. How does that apply to me? Well, first of all, God has commanded us. And we do not fully understand the purpose of the sacrifice. The purpose of the sacrifice was to deal, is everybody ready? Mm-hmm. Was to deal with sin. So when you look at a sacrifice, in your mind, it was God was dealing with your sin, because you were offering your sacrifice. Every Israelite male was bringing their sacrifices, whatever they were that God instructed to bring. They were bringing their sacrifice. That was their sacrifice. Their personal. Everybody ready? Their personal sacrifice. They were bringing to be offered up. Their personal sacrifice. Their sacrifice represented their sin. Is that understandable? So, let's just kind of break it down here. I want you to be able to understand, to comprehend. So here are the laws of the sacrifice. This is beautiful. Here's the laws of the sacrifice, and you notice that in these sacrifices, of course, there's a difference between the sacrifices in these special in the special seasons, and that was referring to the feast. They were different sacrifices than the daily sacrifices. Did you notice that? Because when you read all these sacrifices, except for the Feast of Tabernacles, their sacrifices were more in number than the usual sacrifices. So here's the thing. The sacrifices that they brought during the Feast of the Lord, compared to the daily sacrifices of what did he say that they were to offer up? One lamb in the morning, one lamb in the evening. But here on the feast days and on the new moons and all these high Sabbaths, the sacrifices they brought, this is what consisted of the sacrifices. Every time that he gave them instruction to bring a sacrifice, well, the first thing he instructed them to do was to bring two bullocks. Two young bulls. Two bullocks. One ram. And seven lambs. Now, why was it? Of course, they changed with the special, the feast days. They changed. So sometimes the number of sacrifices, the bullocks or the rams, they all changed. And you'll see this. You'll see this where it was applied even at the consecration of the priests when the priesthood was basically, what's the word, ordained. The day of their ordination, guess what? They started out with the bullock and the rams, but even that number that they had to offer up was one bullock and two rams. There's a reason why. But always remember, the daily sacrifices was what? Two lambs. One in the morning, one in the evening. But on the feast day, they had to offer a certain number of bullocks, a certain number of rams, a certain number of lambs. So why is that so important? What does that mean? Because when you read it, I'm pretty sure some of you that have tried to, that have attempted to go into the study about the sacrifice, or even read through it, you're going, wow, why a ram? Why a bullock? Why a ram? Why two? Why one? Why seven? And then on the day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which began on the 15th all the way to the 21st, 7 days. Guess what? The 15th, they had to start out with sacrificing 13 bullocks. And on the 16th day, they dropped one number, 12 bullocks. And on the 17th day, 11 bullocks. So on and so on. So when they got to the seventh day, they just offered. Why was that? Well, we'll talk about that later, but there is some pretty beautiful things, what it symbolizes, what the significance of that is. It's beautiful, but right now, we'll just talk about what we're talking about here as far as these special sacrifices. Remember, everybody, pay attention. Remember, it was their sacrifices that they offered. Their sacrifices, the Israelites that they offered. So in other words, it was personal. It's like saying that, praise God, every Israelite male had to bring the sacrifices that they were commanded to bring for whatever event it was, whatever service it was, even the daily sacrifices. And you know what? You see there, you read there in the Bible, says that even when they were celebrating their special sacrifices and the feast, they still had to offer up their daily sacrifices.
And this is what we do. We go, oh.
First thing somebody says, oh, that's really taxi.
Hey, let me know you the reason why we feel that way. Because when you deal with sin, it's taxing. Yeah. We all know that.
Yeah.
We battle with it every day. Our carnal nature, that's yes. the connection to yep. sin. Our carnal nature yes. is the reason yep. why those sacrifices.
Amen.
God was dealing with sin. That's how much he did not want sin.
To be something that his people would be struggling with.
Woo!
Even its existence.
Almost all things are by the law purged by blood.
Yep.
And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So the Lord wanted to deal with the sin question. The power of sin. The only way you're going to take away sin, to eradicate it, is the blood.
Yep.
And so that's what, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's why there had to be bloodshed.
Right.
And God wanted to deal with the sin question. He just totally wanted to remove sin so that it wouldn't exist anymore.
Right.
Wow. There's something very beautiful. I keep saying that because it's true. You get to that point where God can reveal that to you, and you're gonna get it. Hopefully, you'll get it. Hopefully, you understand it. But when you receive it, you're gonna go, ooh, praise God. Then you understand why. A lot of people like to just start skipping after that. You know what I mean? A happy person skips. That's what I was told anyway. I don't know. A happy person smiles.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
Jubilant. They're jubilant. They're... So when we did, here's the thing about it. When we deal with that, when we're talking about sacrifices, when we deal with it, guess what? You're going to notice something. Even though it may not seem that way right now, when you deal with it, you're going to notice a difference in your being. You're going to notice a difference in your disposition. You're going to notice a difference in your countenance. You're going to notice a difference in your mind and in your heart. You're going to notice a difference because you're dealing with it.
Wow.
Right.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Yes, there is going to come a day, and hopefully for some of you, you're experiencing it right now, that you hate sin.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
You don't want to entertain it. So here, and this is just simple. So you wonder why the bullocks, the rams, and the lambs. Any of you ever asked that question? Why was it a bullock? Why was it a ram? Why lambs? Those are the ones that are kind of prevalent. You see that come up. And they use them to describe, but of course, they use special offerings. You know, God made provision, and that's, you know, that's something that you'll understand later. But when he talked about turtle doves, especially for those who could not afford doves, turtle doves, certain offerings, when you couldn't afford, when you weren't wealthy enough to be able to purchase a sacrifice. Oh man, that'll preach. purchasing a sacrifice. So, but this is what he basically prescribed. This is what he commanded. This is what he instructed his people. So, bullocks and rams and lambs. So what does that mean? What does that mean? What's the significance of each one of those animals that is, amen, selected for sacrifice? Of course, the bullocks always were the first things to be sacrificed. You'll notice that when you read the scripture in the book of Leviticus and you read Numbers and Deuteronomy, the bullock was the first one to be sacrificed. Why? Because sin had to be dealt with. So in order for us to get close to God, what's the first thing that has to be dealt with? Is our sin. So God will deal with our sins. That's the reason why the bullock was sacrificed. Representation of our sin. A bullock is a strong animal. So God wants to deal with the strength of sin that is in us. Because guess what? Some of you fall under its power.
Yep.
So he wants to deal with sin. So the bullock is the first one, the sin sacrifice. You ever notice that? It's always a reference to it. By the way, the first offering, a sin sacrifice. Then the ram. The ram was offered. And so when you took care of your sin, of course the ram falls into a category which they refer to as a burnt offering. When you took care of your sin, then the next that you had to bring was a ram. The ram signified or symbolized consecration. Now that you've taken care of sin, guess what? God wants to consecrate you. He wants to cleanse you. Consecrate you. And so we see that. And then the lambs. The lambs are a representation of daily living, sanctification. So that's why they were selected in that manner. Of course, you know, you can almost say that the definition of all of those, and it kind of differs just a little bit in the scripture. You read it, you're going to come across it. If you dig deep enough, you're going to come across it. But because they're, some of them kind of overlap a little bit. Some of them almost have the same meaning. But that's just the basic. That's just the simple definition of it, what it means. Sin, dealing with sin, and then being consecrated and sanctified. Sanctification, so that you and I can be sanctified. Amen. Consecration can also mean this, justification. Justified. Now, after we have taken care of our sin and we've offered our sacrifices, guess what? Next is justification. Now, guess what? We're gonna pass from death to life. We're gonna pass from judgment against our sin to justification.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want to be justified.
Yes.
Right.
I need justification.
Yep.
Not my own, his.
Yes.
And you know, you notice this. Here's the thing. Oh, this is the part now. Here's the part. Praise God. Here's the part. That when those Israelites brought those sacrifices up, you know what they had them do? When they offered their sacrifices before they cut the covenant, the Israelites would lay their hands on that sacrifice. Whatever sacrifice it was, if it was for sin, if it was sanctification, justification, consecration, whatever it was, they would lay their hands on it. They would lay their hands on that sacrifice before they drew blood from it, before they slit its throat and the blood was poured out. They would put their hands on it. What does that mean? Here's several things. Listen to this. This is beautiful. it meant this. It means this. Transference. So none of this, the sinful nature, sin in you, you're transferring that sin to your sacrifice.
Mm. Woo! Amen.
We need to talk about the altar service.
Yeah.
Transference. Well, your sin is going to be passed on. You're gonna lay hands on that sacrifice, so your sin can be sacrificed. And it's going to be transferred to that sacrifice. You're going to take away. Your sin's going to be taken away.
Amen.
Guess what? We all need our sin to be taken away.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And here's the other thing. This is the part that I think some of us have problems with. Ownership.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
When are you going to take ownership of your sin?
Right. Amen.
When are you going to confess to yourself and to God that you, amen, are a sinner?
Yes. Right.
And you want to own up to your sin.
Amen.
Praise God. It's just like, amen, we're being disciplined because of the sin. Because guess what? When the wages of sin is death. And so because the wages of sin is death, guess what? Because of our sin, all we can look forward to is death.
Amen.
And so, how many of you want to own up to your sin and say, hey, I need God.
Yeah.
You know, this is who I really am. I am. We're all sinful creatures if we let this thing right here.
Yes. Amen.
Influence us and motivate us. Motions of sin in our flesh, Paul said, in our body. He talks about that in Romans chapter 7. The motions of sin in our body, in our flesh. If we let sin come back to life in us, guess what? We're in trouble.
Yeah.
So that's why we have to own up to it. Own up to your sin.
Amen.
That's the reason why they laid their hands on. You know, that's why I say, when you come up to the altar, when you come up here to talk to God, guess what? Own up to it.
Yes.
Right.
The sacrifice you're bringing is for you.
Yeah.
This is your sacrifice when you come up here. When you come up here to offer that sacrifice, when you feel led of the Lord to come up here and pray, this is your sacrifice to bring. Own up to it. Transfer whatever it is that you are carrying to your sacrifice.
Amen.
And own up to it. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, the Lord's used me in the word of knowledge. There's been times when I didn't know what the deal was with certain people, and all of a sudden he gives me a word of knowledge, and it's like, and you know what? Here I am. I know, and I'm supposed to speak something to him. And right away, human mind is one to doubt. But you know, the times I obeyed, it was like these people are like,
how did you know that?
See, God can use us in the gifts, but you know what's even better? Because when you are honest. When you come with integrity, you're honest about what you are doing. Because you know what you're doing.
Amen.
You know the sin you're living in. You know what you're doing. Why is it we always try to hide that?
Amen.
Ownership. So that's what needs to take place. It's kind of something, the laying on of hands, that's what they did. Transference, the laying on of hands, transference. Now we can use that in a positive way. We can take what we have by the Holy Ghost and we can lay hands. He shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover.
Amen.
Transference of that anointing.
Amen.
That heavenly virtue.
Amen.
Woo! Why? Because my. But here we are. Let's go back to what he said. Let's go back to what he said when he was talking about there. He said in verse number 3, and thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord, 2 lambs of the first year, without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering.
day by day. For a continual burnt offering. The one lamb shall to offer in the morning, and the other lamb shall to offer evening. So in other words, you can offer one lamb in the morning, and the other lamb you can offer in the evening. Guess what? We're to be presenting him a sacrifice every morning, every evening.
Uh-huh. Amen.
We lived in that economy. Guess what? So what does that mean? Here's what he's showing us. Here's what he's revealing to us. A continual offering. Is that what he said?
Yep.
A continual burnt offering. You notice that? Burnt. When you burn something, guess what? You're gonna smell it. And in this case, guess what? Here's the beautiful thing about it. They offered these sacrifices. It was a burnt offering. And the Bible says it came up to the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor. So every time we offer up a sacrifice, every time we offer our sins, our body as a living sacrifice, guess what? It comes up as a sweet-smelling savor before God. This is years ago, way back in the 90s. When we used to, Brother Robert Longshore used to have two meetings during the year, one in the winter and then one in the summer. Right at the end of December and then right in June would be his second meeting, camp meeting. And I remember when we began to fellowship and go down there, we actually made that trip twice a year for I don't know how many years we did it, quite a few years. But I, you know, be able to experience that fellowship and the preaching, the ministry, the word, the ministers of God. Man, I heard some awesome preaching. I heard some awesome messages. Glory. Man, God was speaking to his people. Beautiful thing. He said to, and I always remember one service, man, I tell you what, they preached hell hot. I remember when they took the break and they were heading into the fellowship. The room there, this is in this old building, and somebody, one of the ministers made the comment as everybody was passing through that doorway. He said, "Can you smell that?" and there's some people that were around him. I can't remember who it was, but he said, "What?" They thought he was referring to the food that was.
Oh.
He said, "No, burnt flesh." But it was good. It was good. So to offer, look what he says. Why does he say it? One lamb, because that's what he said to offer, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
One lamb. You should offer two lambs, one day by day. Two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. Did you realize this? Two lambs of the first year for a continual burnt offering, day by day. One in the morning, one in the evening. Two lambs without spot. You know what that symbolizes? The Lamb of God, without spot, offered himself without spot, the Apostle Peter said. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, when he offered himself without spot. The writer in Hebrews said, he was in all points tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. He was a perfect sacrifice. He didn't have any flaws.
Right.
Right. Amen.
Right.
He was without spot.
Right.
Didn't have any deformities. He was without spot. He was a perfect sacrifice. He was a whole sacrifice.
Amen.
Amen.
Paul refers to it. He says, "Purge therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So what does this mean? What does this represent? Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Those two lambs were a connection to what Jesus has done for us. Guess what? He gave his life. He shed his blood.
Right.
He was a perfect sacrifice.
Right.
So when we come, because he was without spot, he was a perfect sacrifice. When we come before God, here's the thing. God knows your heart. God knows your thoughts. God knows your life. Did you realize the Bible says he knows when you rise up? He knows when you go out and when you come in. And he knows when you lay down. He knows every detail, every minute detail about your life. Not just the physical, but the spiritual.
Amen.
He knows everything about us. And so when we come, remember when we talked about that earlier, about how he said that in the book of Psalms, when we read that in Psalms 50, where we read that scripture where he said that, will I offer the flesh of bulls? Oh, will I not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings? To have been continued. Yeah, they should have been continued, but what was the one of the other controversies that the Lord had with his people when they offered sacrifices? First of all, one of them was this. When they came, they weren't doing it with their heart. It was half-hearted. They were offering their sacrifices half-hearted. You know what? He spoke to Israel in the book of Hosea, and that's why he said, you know what? You are a cake that has been, what did he say? Half-baked. Why is it? You know what he was referring to there? You're being half-hearted, Israel. Woo! And so they weren't coming up with the right heart. They're being half-hearted, and even their attitude. The Bible says another controversy he had was in the book of Malachi, where he talked about when he rebuked the priesthood, that he was rebuking the priesthood, and he was rebuking the people of Israel. He said, "Why do you call the Lord's table contemptible?" You know what he was talking about? He was talking about the sacrifices that were being brought. Why do you call them contemptible? You know what the people of God were starting to go, do I have to bring a sacrifice? Here's the thing. Here's the reason why. A lot of historians don't realize this. Why was it they were saying the Lord's table was contemptible? You know why it was contemptible? Because they weren't offering perfect or acceptable sacrifices. In other words, they were bringing sacrifices that were torn, deformed, or as at one place in scripture, that had scurvies. In other words, there weren't to be any blemishes on the sacrifice. The sacrifice had to be a perfect sacrifice. That was the acceptable sacrifice. Had to be without spot, without blemish. A whole sacrifice. And so that's the reason why he said that. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings. To have been continually. Here's the other thing. To have been continually. Woo. Praise God. Jesus paid the price for us. He shed his blood. He paid the price for us. Guess what? We did not have to die physically. He died for us. He took our sin upon him and he died for us. He was truly a mediator, a propitiation for our sins. He was he paid the ransom for us. He died for my sin. He died for your sin.
Yes.
So he paid the price to suffer that physical death so that you and I could have an opportunity at eternal life. A life without sin. Yeah, what is it we have to do? I was thinking about this. I'll be honest with you. It was several days ago that the Lord laid this on my heart. And I was thinking, I honestly thought that was a message he wanted me to preach Sunday. But he said, no, it's not. He made sure to tell me when. And so I was going through the Word of God. And of course, myself, it's just like when the Lord starts to lay things on my heart and I start following and I start writing it down, making my notes, whatever thoughts come, I make my notes, I start. And so me, myself, when I get into that state of mind, it's just like, man, other scriptures come from my mind, so I'll write, start writing about them. And praise God. So usually by the time I get done, drafting an outline, if I want to say it that way, it seems like I have all kinds of scripture. And then I look at it and I go, I don't know if I want to read all that scripture. Because we'll be there for a long time. But it's just the way the Word of God moves. And so then I have to revise it. I have to kind of eliminate some passages. And I say, okay, I'll make it more simplistic. I'll make it more simple that they can understand. And then I go back to that main thought or that main theme that he placed upon my heart. And I said, okay, keep it simple, keep it simple. Keep it simple. I guarantee you that if you pay attention and that if you understand, you receive and you begin to ingest his word, ingest it to where it becomes a part of you, in your deep innermost being, let it become a part of you. I don't know if any of you have ever gone to that extent ever. When you get to that extent, guess what's going to happen? Your life is going to change dramatically. Not only will that happen, but your understanding, God will just illuminate you, give you understanding. You're going to understand. You're going to see why. The light's going to be shined upon you. You're going to go, wow, I did not see that. All you and I have to do is this. All he requires for us to do is to get a hold of this. Mm-hmm. Control this. And that's what he meant when he said that in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul wrote, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Remember I said, he paid the price. He paid the price. And all we have to do is present our bodies. Guess what? That's why I say the altar should be a sacred place when we come. We should present our bodies a living sacrifice. Yeah. So when we come, guess what? We're doing it because we want to. We want to, guess what? We want to offer him the best.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Woo. That's right.
We're not going to give him leftovers.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
We're going to give him the best. We're going to give him a perfect sacrifice.
Yes.
Right.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Then he says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's all that is expected of us. Hey, putting this flesh under subjection, guess what? You pray in the Holy Ghost, it's not going to be difficult. Like Paul said, putting my body under. I've learned to put my body under. I've learned to deal with your, with the lust of your flesh. Deal with what it wants to do, how it wants to rise up. Remember Paul said that we are unleavened now?
Yeah.
Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Why? So we could become unleavened. Because I guarantee you that's a lot of the problems that we have and a lot of the struggles we have, a lot of the difficulties we have is because we haven't come to that part where we have fully, truthfully, sincerely offered our body as a living sacrifice. You know what? I dress the way that I do because of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. I don't dress because, you're a cult. Hey! Okay. Guess what? I'm not a part of this culture no more.
Yeah.
I'm part of the heavenly culture.
Yeah.
So the Holy Ghost is influencing me. So when God puts his spirit in me, I'm offering this, my body as a living sacrifice. I'm going to subject myself to him.
Amen. Yeah.
So as a result, I'm going to become, guess what? Holy.
Right.
He's going to sanctify me. I'm going to be consecrated to him. So, amen. I'm not here for any reason trying to advertise my sexuality or my personality or anything like that. I'm not doing that. I just want to live holy. I don't want to have anything to do with sin.
Amen.
Or the world.
Amen.
And so it's up to us, you and I. Because he paid the price for us. I guarantee you, when I was in sin, I'm not one to conjure up old shame stories, but I did some pretty ridiculous things and didn't even think twice. And why is it when it comes to living for God, some of us like, do I have to do that? No, you know what? If you're full of the Holy Ghost will quicken you so you can live for him. That's the difference.
That's right.
But all we have to do to deal with this is present our bodies a living sacrifice.
Yes.
Oh man, didn't realize the time. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual. Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer to the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him, to his name. So spiritual sacrifice, offering up the sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise.
Amen.
My. Here's the contrast. I'm done. Here's the contrast. Flesh, death. Spirit, life. Let me say it again. Flesh, death. Spirit, life. Praise God. Pray for our sale tomorrow. Praise God. And hopefully there'll be a lot of hungry, hunky ones. And others. Pray for our sale. We'll see everybody Sunday. God bless you. Have a good rest of the evening. Greet one another in Jesus' name.